We are the Dan the Dancers. We are a group of retired railroad men. I'm the baby of the group. And I'm 65 years old. Our senior citizen here, he says he's too young to drink coffee yet. So he gives his age somewhere between, he said 85 and 95, or 85 and 100 or somewhere
there. Don't pay him no attention.
But he's a senior citizen. I worked 35 years and 3 months on the railroad. I started on the railroad when I was 17 years old. I graduated from high school on Friday night, and I went to work on the railroad on a Monday morning. And between that time, my mother said that I had to get further education. So I had to work on the railroad. I had to go to college, and I had to graduate. I am the third child of 18 children. I'm the oldest boy of 9. And women played a great part in the conduct and behavior patterns of men who worked on the railroad, even to the dress that we wear. A woman had pride, and I've heard my mother tell my father, "You just don't go away from here looking any kind of way. Your shirt must be starched and ironed, and your overalls must be starched and ironed with their creases." So there was always a woman behind that man. This group here ranges between the ages of 65 and 85. We have had some performers or some men who were in their 90s. They are long gone. In fact, there's two who had performed recently, as much as last year, died last year. So the group is now becoming extinct. In this machine age, this machine has come into popularity, and they seem to cut the cost of labor. This type employee is more or less being phased out. Yet we did all of the things that you now see a machine doing. We picked up tremendous weight. We moved tremendous weight. And everything that you see here is heavy. The lightest thing being the shovels, I believe. And they still weigh approximately between 15 and 20 pounds. Most of these tools, and I will give you some idea of what the weight is. It took a corn-fed, milk-fed youngster to work on the railroad. We hired approximately 10 men every day, and by 12 o'clock, some days or most days, we didn't even have any left. So, it took all kinds of persons. The rail comes in different weights. That's a 100-pound rail there. That means that there's 100 pounds every 3 feet. So you can imagine 8 men picking that rail up, carrying it behind their heads, and tossing it into a gondola car. That meant that only the pure in heart could stay. So you went to work each morning, and me being a youngster and being reared around railroads, but my father before me was a railroad person. He retired after working 48 years. And I began to watch railroading, I guess, when I was about 5, 6 years old. Not only did I watch like any youngster, I had an innovative mind. I became the most mischievous person that could ever work on a railroad. I know tricks now that I can pull, and I make it seem as if it was somebody else. But I won't put none of these tricks in your heads. We're going to sing a little opening song here that allows the group to introduce themselves. And our senior citizen here is going to do the lead portion of it. Good evening, everybody. How do you do? Good evening, everybody. How do you do? We so very glad to see you. Oh, how do you do? My name is John Meelin. How do you do? My name is John Meelin. How do you do? I'm so very glad to see you. Oh, how do you do? My name is Charlie Bass. Oh, how do you do? My name is Charlie Bass. Oh, how do you do? We so very glad to see you. Oh, how do you do?
My name is Alan Jones.
Oh, how do you do?
My name is Alan Jones.
Oh, how do you do? We so very glad. And the dancer part of the name comes from the arithmetic and emotions that the men went through as they did their work. So thus produces the name Gandhi Dancer. Now, most people when they hear the word dancer might think that we are what they call it, you know, what stomps on the television. But we're not rappers. But song plays a very important part in the, might say, participation of these men and doing their work. It's a psychological thing that I learned. It's where the caller seeks to capture the mind of the individual. You have to find out what condition that man is in, what kind of problems he's having, whether it be domesticated or business or whatever. And you, the caller, has to synchronize his calls in an effort to take that man's mind away from this problem. Also, he can sing songs that injects a thought into that man's mind. And this is the thing of the caller. He has to synchronize the effort. You, as I explained in the beginning, this is tremendous weight here. Each cross tie that's in here weighs between 350 and 750 pounds. We have some cross ties that are longer. This is a standard cross tie, which is 8 foot 3 inches in length. But when you get to the 16s and 17 foot cross ties, they are much longer and weigh much more. So, they calls for much greater strength. Trying to keep this thing here. We can tell this is a new fangled operation here. You know, I don't even adjust the television. I sent from my grandson. But in the years before there was machinery and before there was all of this was done through hand and through muscle and strength coordination. Therefore, you had to coordinate the man's effort, the same as a symphony orchestra or conductor synchronizes his instruments. Each one of these bars here is made of a different chemistry. Therefore, it produces different notes. You can have them ill arranged and they make noise. I've arranged them with the note that they give. So they will make music once the tapping starts. Now, the tools, this is what you call a tapping shovel or a track shovel. This is what they call a tapping pick. Right here. Now, this is what we call a level board. This is the most critical instrument on the railroad. Right here. And I will demonstrate and show you how it works. Elder there have a spike mold. That spike mold weighs 9 pounds. Now, to see the rapidity in which he uses it and how he twirls it and all gives you some idea of the hand and eye coordination and the strength effort that has to be put forth. This is a track jack. This jack weighs approximately 125 pounds. Now, don't be misled because we handle them so easy. But the weight is there. The bars weigh anywhere between 65 75 and some heavy bars weigh 85 pounds or so. Now, the next tool is a track gauge. All over the United States, Canada, and in Mexico, this is what's known as a standard track gauge. It is 56 and a half inches in dimension. In Europe, countries of Russia, France, or England, or Yugoslavia, or wherever, the track gauge there is 60 inches. So it extends beyond this track gauge here. But this is what they call a standard track gauge. Charlie here holds a claw bar or a spike pulling bar, which weighs approximately 75 to 100 pounds. This is a pair of what they call rail dogs or rail tongues. Again, the weight is fair, 70 to 100 pounds or more. Now, directly behind Island there is a pair of what we call two-man tie tongs. That's where you hook them to the tie and you pull the tie from underneath the rail. Sometimes two men will use one pair, and sometimes you put two pairs in, and you double the effort. When you double the effort, they can sling that tie as far as near the middle of that crowd. So, the caller has to be real sort of careful. This is a track wrench. This is where you put the bolts and the joint. Now you have what's called weld rail. And the rail length, instead of this coming 39-foot or 25-foot, rail is now traveled a quarter of a mile. So it's all what they call ribbon rail. So that gave you just an idea of what kind of tools to use and the weight of the tools. And you have to be skillful with the use of each tool. Now this comes from years of practice. As you might know, railroading is an unwritten art. You won't find too much about the mechanics of railroading because of history. It's a thing that's passed on from father to son and from man to man and down the line. And most of these things you learn through the years. I was told by Superintendent Munson, it takes 10 years to make a railroad man. And only after the 10th will you begin to pay the company back for your time. So by then you have become experienced, you know what to do and how to do it. Remember, I was saying that the weight of this rail, 8 to 12 men can handle this rail, and it seems like a toothpick in their hand. And this is where one of the coaches, I think, down in Florida A&M made the expression one time that he was looking for men who was agile, mobile, and hostile. You had to have those same three qualities to work on the railroad. You must have the agility to move your feet, to get out of the way. Because when the caller gives that command, if you were on this side of that rail, and he gives the command to jump it off the heads, that means that this rail is coming over there. So you, the man on this side, he holds it off, but he jumps straight up. The man on that side applies so much force to it that he carries it out there. So you stay out of the way and keep your legs from being cut off. You have to be agile. You had to have mobility because it calls in a lot of instances for moving quickly, instantaneously, without waiting to make a decision. But you see the danger, you see what's happening, and you move all at that same moment. Now you had to be hostile to stay there because no one took pity on anyone. So you had to hold your own among the men. We're going to demonstrate one or two songs, and I see some kiddies here, and we're going to demonstrate one or two songs that more or less the children will understand. These songs go all the way from nursery rhymes to religious songs to sexual songs, the blues, to serious songs, to jolly songs, or what have you. You had to capture, the caller had to capture the moment. And now to keep those men synchronized and keep their minds away from what they were doing. At the same time, because if they thought about what they were doing, they wouldn't have been able to move or do the job as it would need to be done. We're gonna sing a little song here for the kiddies, one that I learned in elementary school. That's it now. Grab it.
Yeah.
Hostile, they were more or less men of great or deep morality. They didn't want to say anything around children that would be offensive. Or like they said, little pitchers have big ears. So they didn't speak the vile language around children. They guarded their tongues. That caller had to know when you were working near a schoolhouse, or when children were coming on or passing you. So he would tone the men down, and he didn't shout, he just sung his song. Jack and Jill, he gave up his Jack fell down and broke his Jill came back. Jack and Jill went up the hill, all right. We're gonna move on to another little song, and I think Bradley said that he kind of toned one down a little bit, and he had one that he could sing. And let's see.
Oh, when I go and come again, you won't know me from that bitch.
Folk song a little bit, and he was talking about taking a little trip. Then when he returned, you would know him. And so he communicated, he told you what he was thinking about doing. Now, here's one that, you know, like I said, I was mischievous. And being mischievous and knowing how to do things, if I was angry with the foreman, and it was getting close to dinner time. See, you couldn't tell him that you wanted to stop to eat, but you could get to the men, and you could send them a message, and he had better catch on to what you were saying, because if he didn't catch on to what you were saying, see, you timed the moment. You would have to know when the train was coming, and you know, and this was called, they be sung this song, it's called kicking the track, which means that you throw this out of line, and then here comes the train with that kink in that track, like that. If he strikes that piece of rail, he has wrecked. So he had to sort of keep a sharp ear to you too, or what you were saying. So this was one that we saw the song, you know, when it's coming close to dinner time, and how you didn't know what time it was. Ice cream, pecans, buttermilk, take shots inside. Turn up beans and bacon by here, that's people ride. Ice cream, buttermilk, clean up too. See, now, the end of that, when I said take it for a ride, that meant push it out of line. Now we're gonna go back over that and see can you catch it. All right, slow it a little bit. Biscuit, put them in the Mixed the language up, and so he couldn't understand what I'm saying. See? And that's where the mischievousness comes in. But they got the message. See? Now, Brother Mealing here, you know, deacon and all this kind of good stuff, but he talks about a preacher pretty mean sometimes. And being that, well, I'm going to let them tell you about it. Go ahead, tell them about it.
Yeah, now some folks say a preacher won't steal. They got three in the cornfield. One had a bushel, one had a peck, one had a rose, and they tied around his neck. And boy, he was living. And boy, he was living. And boy, he was living. Well, there me deep between the ties.
Girlfriend. He had a girlfriend, you know, and she worked, and he kind of loafing around a little bit. Come on, Rabbi, sing him, tell him about your girlfriend.
I don't want to talk about her. Oh, oh, man. You don't need to be working so hard. I got a cow and a wife over yard.
To dress a sexual song up so that you'll get the meaning, but I hope these little youngsters don't get they're so smart, you know. Remember, the hammers weigh 9 pounds.
Thank you.
corner. And imagine them using those hammers with such ratchet fashion that sounds like a typewriter. I worked with a crew of 40 men, and I was the lead spiker, or the line spiker. That meant that you spiked a mile of railroad a day. So you would have to eat. My daddy said I ate more than the mule ate. He said you fed the mule 6 ears of corn, he fed me 12. So you had to really have energy in order to perform the task. But, I thought it was fun, really, because I played baseball after I quit. You know, right for perspiration. And then in the days of steam engine, before diesels came into effect, you tied it around your neck. And that kept the cinders from coming down your neck. You know, the hot cinders when the steam engine blew them out. But it also has some other meaning. As I was going to work one morning and stuck it in my back pocket and I had it hanging out like that, and I went on to work. This lady stopped me. And she said, "Hello." I said, "Hello, ma'am." And I kept on going. The next morning as I was going to work and I passed the house, she jumped down off the porch and she ran out to me and she shook her finger in my face. She said, "What you tell me that lie for?" I said, "Ma'am, I didn't say anything. I said good morning." She said, "You told me you was coming by my house last night." I said, "Ma'am, I didn't say that." So I was, confused, and I saw my father. And I asked my father, I said, "Daddy," I repeated, told him what had happened. He said, "Boy, how did you have your handkerchief?" I said, "It was hanging out my back pocket." He said, "You was telling that woman that you was coming by her house last night." And then I found out why my mother was saying, would say that your dad's coming home. You see, being 18 of us, 9 boys and 9 girls. She knew when my father was coming home every 2 years because, like you said in yesterday's paper on the news, there was 6. She didn't get with none of us twins. But one came every 2 years. So she knew when Daddy was coming home. And she was pretty tickled about how Daddy carried his handkerchief in his pocket, too. So, now, sign language, you didn't have the communication radios, and engineers could talk to the woman in the next town. They would tune the steam on the whistle, and it would give off just a certain sound. And you could tell engineers or who was operating that engine by the tone that they gave. They even blew a certain kind of sound when they were carrying a coffin. And as they passed along the track, people would stand out in silence because his horn, the whistle, was telling them that he was carrying a coffin. But if you want to encounter, this is a little demonstration of how everything that you did move your hands, or at any time. Every time you move your hands, you were talking. So you were cautious with how you handle your hands. Example of it, if I want to count up to 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 30, 4, 40, 6. See? So you didn't get out there flapping your hands and doing anything. And once you realize that you were talking every time you move your hands, so you have to be kind of careful about that. I promised you a little song. Come on, fellas, let's stay at the bars here. And we're gonna try to sort of dress up one of these songs. I think maybe I can dress one up. All right. I want you to see, can you see this woman? This is a song that usually from your song, sexual song, they were kinds of songs that when the track had gotten tight, but when you were coming around the curve and the track was in clay and it calls for tremendous energy. So you took that mind, that man's mind away from the hardness of the work or the stiffness of the rail. Placed it on that woman. A woman excites a man more than anything else. So you got to get him excited. Grab him, y'all.
All right.
Then he was looking for Sally, because you had described her. See? Now, when you got on into that next verse, let's see. Grab big legs and whoa, I better not go that far. Maybe when the kids are in the room. Being a deacon, see these deacons here, I can't talk too much around these fellas. They always remind the heads to shut your mouth. See, he was up here mumbling, telling me, "Hey, boys, shut your mouth." But, he know a few there.
Hey, boy.
Red pine cola and tobacco juice. Two sparks up before noon. Boy, it's moving. Boy, it's moving. Boy, it's moving. Red easy on gas, but it's hard to crack. That's because it ain't got no back on tank. Boy, it's living.
Sometimes calculus, mathematics, and you must understand the principles of physics and chemistry. You see, heat elongates steel. So you must calculate how much effect that the sun has on this rail. This is for Curry purposes. Now, if that rail elongates itself, you have to calculate how far it is going. So you have what they call an expansion joint. You remove it in the winter, and you put it back in the summer because the heat is pushing the rail one way or the other. And wherever it gets to the apex of the curve, that track, except there is room for that rail to expand, it's going to move. This is what causes wrecks. Remind you, three things holds a train on its track: the gauge, the flange of the wheel, and the gravitational pull. You get that theory when you get this. The faster it goes, the weight pulls it down. This is the only thing that keeps it on the track. We have coming into this country now the what they call the rapid rail system, the express train. There's an experimental track being built between Dallas and Houston to see how it's going to work. This will cause a revolution in the transportation system of this country. One train carries more tonnage than 1,000 tractor trailer trucks, and that's a small train. You can connect as much as 10 engines together, and what you've done is made 10 times the tonnage that it can pull according to the topography or the terrain that it's going over. So, young folk, when you get there, keep that in mind, because we're going to need somebody to advance this country. See, I'm angry, and I'm angry because the French developed this train, the Japanese took it and improved it, and here we are in America that have not completed one, and I just don't believe in losing that anything. So I'm angry, and I'm going to be angry until some of you come on the scene. We can do it. America has produced everything and has led this world. And I believe we can get them come back to the forefront, but I'm depending on you and you and you, all of these little ones. I'm depending on you so that we can get back to the forefront again. So take kindly the wisdom of the years and, put a little extra emphasis on that math and, chemistry and that kind of thing, but all of the sciences. But please also learn to communicate You know, I was telling the kids this morning about the English language, vocabulary and such. Please learn, because if you know it and you can't tell me, we won't be successful. And if you know it and I don't understand what you're saying and I'm not able to communicate, then I won't know how to do it. So we're going to have to learn the language arts and the sciences so we can get back as the world leader again. This instrument levels the track. And at the same time that it levels the track, this adjustment on the end, according to the curve or the degree of curve that you want to put in that track. You see what happens? So you've got to bring this to a level here. Now, come this side. There's a bead in the center. See? Now that's a level. But at the apex of the curve, and each 1/2 inch equals to 10 miles of speed. So to go to the center of the curve, you got to step it up and step it down. This is so the train flows around the curve the same as it flows on a level. And that's what's called elevation of the track. And this is where it's critical. You must know how to calculate. You got to know the algebra, the math, and all, in order to calculate that. Because he's increasing speed. If he's running 280 miles an hour, and that's what they say these high-speed trains are going to run. I went to France, and I sat on one, and it was running on, they said, the speed of 295, and the cough in the cup didn't even shake. And it looked the same as if you were just, or sitting in the living room. A tremendous amount of technology involved here. And so this is why I'm saying I'm looking forward to you. But as you step it up, the curve, say the apex of the curve might be 3 miles away, but you step it up. If I'm running, say 80 miles an hour here, every 10 rail lengths, I have to step it up until I reach the apex, and it flows around the curve, same as if we were sitting on the flat surface. You won't know that you ever been around that curve. Okay. So that is the usage, some of the uses of what they call the level board. Now we got, this is what they call a tamping shovel, a track shovel, and you must meet the grout or the slag underneath the center of this rail. It must be packed solid, otherwise you get this kind of motion. And you wouldn't want to be riding along on the expressway out there in your car. You know, I've seen one of these cars, you know, kids ride in and it'd be going like this. But I certainly wouldn't want to be riding along on a train at 100 miles an hour and just doing this. So they're going to give a little demonstration as to what he's done. And side of that tank has to be tamped in that way. And that makes a hard surface. It takes 10 years for a railroad bed to set itself. And that's because of the pounding on it. And the one thing that I found that a machine cannot do, that hand labor can do, because machine does not have feelings. Man can detect a soft spot underneath that tire. The machine cannot. So the machine only levels, it packs the slag where it is. But the man has a human feeling to it, and that vibration in that shovel tells him that there is a soft spot there. So you tamp it tighter, and that's what caused it to remain level. Now, 1949, I worked on Frisco Railroad, and I was in Oklahoma. And as we approached the railhead, and it was going on, getting on close to Saturday night, and we had been in the cut. We'd been pretty rowdy that day. And as we looked in the woods, we heard a noise. And there was a woman and a child. And they seemed to be in a hurry. Up at the railhead, which was, I guess, perhaps 400 yards up ahead, there's just a little white building up there. Yeah. That was a church. And the caller, name was Russell. Russell was a fellow with a heavy booming voice. And he sensed the moment. And he sung this song. He had to calm us down. And he had to do it quickly. Because we were wide open. And he sung this song. One more time. One more time. One more time. One more time. Lord, I'm glad to be in this service. One more time. If my mother, she asks for me, you tell her I'm going to Galilee. Because I'm glad to be in this service. One more time. Went on a few more yards, and there came a hearse across the crossing. And he went over and pulled around in front of the little church over there. And Russell, sensing the moment, and he sung another verse. This may be my last time. Oh, this may be my last time, children. This may be my last time, the last time, children. I don't know. But you see how that changed your attitude and how he has gotten inside of your head. And he didn't have to tell you, now, men, we won't have any cursing, and we won't have all these rousing songs, we won't have all these words and, that y'all been speaking down there in that cut. You got to calm yourself and you got to respect, because here is someone that's going on to the great beyond. So, after doing that, I figured like we were coming toward the end. And as we come towards the end of this performance, Brother Meadlin is going to lead us in a little closing verse there.
Yeah, I sung on radio and TV for a long time. I sung in a quartet for about 37 or 38 years right in Birmingham. That group still singing, but I left because I was working in the church and I couldn't fold my duty in church and follow them, because they went from one place to another. So I just want these fellas to be the same way. But see, after I left, they still went on. But we always had a closing song, even when I was on radio. By and by, oh,
when the morning comes,
and all the saints gone gathering home, and they'll tell the story how we overcome,
and we'll understand it better.
Thank you, and we hope that we have done something to enlighten you a little bit. And then come on back tomorrow, and maybe we're going to get into a few more other things, maybe to your liking. You know, maybe a little something different. Have a good day.